Let's turn to Genesis then and to the first chapter. And in recent weeks, we've seen that we have here from the first verse of Genesis 1 as far as verse 3 of chapter 2, we have an introduction not only to the book of Genesis, but it's an introduction to the Bible as a whole. These verses introduce us to God. They introduce us to ourselves, and they introduce us to the purposes of God. So what we are doing then, we are starting here in these verses, and we are taking a journey through our Bibles. And the journey is a journey of following themes. So we are not going from book to book or from chapter to chapter. We are seeing here the themes in these verses, and then we are taking them and following the themes through the pages of our Bibles. So what we've done so far is we've taken the theme of creation, and we have followed that theme through the Psalms and through Isaiah, and we've taken that theme into the New Testament. We've seen John in his Gospel reflect on the theme of creation as he tells us about the Word becoming flesh and living among us. And then we completed that journey in the last book of the Bible as it talks to us about the new heavens and the new earth. We've seen that alongside the theme of creation, the second great theme in this introduction is the theme of image. So both creation and image are the two key ideas that we can follow through our Bibles. And sometimes you'll find the theme of creation on its own. At other times, the theme of creation and image is explored at the same time. And then obviously there'll be those scriptures that reflect on the idea of image. Last Sunday night, do you remember, we looked at a passage in the New Testament which talked about both creation and image in the person of Jesus Christ. We were looking last week at Colossians and the first chapter from verse 15 down, and there's an ancient hymn there that reflects on the fact that it is Jesus Christ who is the one who created all things, the one who is the image of the invisible God. And what I want us to do tonight is take the idea of image and then just very quickly follow that theme through our Bible. So let's read from verse 26. So Genesis 1, 26, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let man have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Well, let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you then that we are taking this Sunday night journey through our Bibles. And Lord, we have taken the idea of creation, and very quickly, very briefly, we have seen how your word reflects on creation. And now, God, we've also seen how this idea of image is right at the heart of these verses. Lord, we want tonight to think about this idea of image. Lord, we ask you to help our understanding. We ask you, our God, to increase our faith. Lord, we ask you to strengthen us in the inner man through the light of your word. We look to you. We pray your blessing upon us as we listen to your word together. And Lord, our God, in listening, we worship, we praise, we magnify, and we glorify your holy name. So hear our praise then, as we commend ourselves to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just take a very quick journey through the Bible, following the theme of image. And if you've got the notice sheet with you, can you just see that I've put four points down on that notice sheet that form, if you like, a symmetry that's going to help us pursue this theme of image. This theme in the Bible is wonderfully balanced because we begin in Genesis 1 with the idea that God creates man in his image. And then after this introduction, we'll see that throughout the Bible, we find man creating God in his image. So it's a reversal of what you have here in the introduction. So let's first see then in these verses, verse 26, that God creates man in his image. And I want you to see two things. The first is that we have this detailed list of the order of creation. Do you remember what the order is? We start with darkness, and then we have the waters, and then we have land. And it's on the land that we have this creative activity of God and these detailed lists that we find in these verses about the animals, the birds, the fish, and so on. And then lastly, in this creative work of God, you have man made out of the dust of the ground. And then you come to verse 26. This idea of God creating in his own image. Now, all of us are very familiar with that idea. Too familiar, perhaps. So let's pause to recognize that what we are told in these verses is that we share in the nature of God. There is a uniqueness, there is a distinguishedness about the creation of man. We have all this detail about the heavens and the earth and the land and the sea and life all around, and then there's this unique moment when God makes a reflection of himself. In prayer meeting last week, we had a chat about this idea of image. And if you were in prayer meeting, do you remember we talked about the different words that you'll find in the Bible that we translate image. Here we have God making someone like himself, making man to share the nature and the uniqueness and the distinctiveness of God himself. There is something here so different to what has happened before. So I think the way to sum it up is like this. If you want to understand yourself, if you want to understand human beings, then you don't look around you to see what we have in common with life. You look above and you see what we share with God. And that's the idea of image. God creates a reflection of himself so that when God looks at Adam, God looks at himself. So there is this closeness and specialness in this act of creation here in Genesis. And some of you know that when you read your Bible, You look for phrases that are repeated, words that occur more than once. And you have just that, don't you, in verse 27. This idea being hammered home of the special place, the unique position that man has in the creative purposes of God. Now, there's so much more to say about that. Let's move to this idea then, that from this introduction onwards, as you go through the books of the Bible, you have this idea that man then creates God in his own image. So, what I want you to do is either think for yourself of those occasions when you'll read an account of how men and women set about making God in their own image. Or, if you like, follow me as I take you through our Bibles. I want you to think about that occasion in the book of Exodus when the people of God make that bull, if you like, that representation of what they think God to be. The idea is that because of sin, men and women now go about setting up their understanding of who God is, creating God as a reflection of themselves. Do you see the reversal here? So God originally creates as a reflection of himself, and then man creates God as a reflection of who man is and what man thinks and what man deems important. So with Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, he's up there having fellowship with God. Down at the bottom of the mountain, they make this representation of who they imagine God to be, made in the image of what we see and what we understand. If you're on your own journey here, you can think of other instances where our Bible will tell us that this is what men and women do. I want to just show you one other place. Isaiah chapter 40. In that chapter, we are presented with this portrait of a man, a poor man, going out into the woods. He finds some broken trunk of a tree, takes it home, and carves an image of God. Do you see the idea there? That this is what we do. We make God as a reflection of ourselves. And when you come to the New Testament, things are much subtler, aren't they? We don't find people building statues or idols or carving trees or gathering stones. What you have instead are men and women, the people of Israel, building in their heads the God they imagine to be. And I want just to pause for one moment if I can. Every one of us has to be aware that there is a tendency in every heart to create God in our own image. That we make God a reflection of ourselves. And so we start with our own character, and starting with what we like, or what we want, or what we think, or with what matters to us, we then build a picture for ourselves of the God we think exists. Right from the fall, from the time of Adam, men and women have created God in our own image. And I want to say to you, Just be aware that we do the same. So, for example, if we find it difficult to forgive ourselves, we then build this image of God, a God who also finds it difficult to forgive us. If we find it difficult to love ourselves, then we build a mental image of God as a God who also finds it difficult to love us. Our own weaknesses and our own prejudices and our own fears and our own desires mix together to create a mental idea of God. And we have to be very careful of what we do. God has shown us himself. He has revealed himself. And he has done so in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's as we look at Christ, we see God. Not as we look at ourselves, or our situations, or our circumstances. It's as we look at Christ that we see God. So the Bible then, Isaiah, Exodus, wherever you turn, there's this truth of how men and women create God in their own image. Well, let's move on, shall we? Because what we also find in the Bible is that God makes his Son in our image. God sends his Son, Jesus Christ, in the image of you and I. And you may know this verse. If you do, then you don't mind me looking at it. If you don't, come with me anyway. I want you to turn to Romans and chapter 8. Because in Romans 8, we have this verse that many people, I think, tremble at because of the nature and the wonder and the mystery of what we find here. So here's the third idea then. God makes his Son in our image. So Romans 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness or image of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, I'm sure you can see straight away then what I want you to pay attention to in this verse. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. When God sent his Son, and his Son took our nature, he took the nature of weakness. He took the nature in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, can you see why verse 3 is such an amazing verse? When God sent his Son took our nature and then lived among us, not as a superman. He didn't live amongst us as a superhero. He didn't live amongst us as the perfection of humanity. He came in the likeness, the image of sinful flesh. Perhaps a story may make it clearer, and it's not a very good story, but many years ago, I had a conversation with an elderly Christian lady, not somebody in this church, but somebody who was a leading light in a church in our area. And this lady loved to work with children. And she would do children's work throughout the week. And she told me that they would do the work in the vestry. And there they were learning songs and the usual sort of thing, I guess. And she told me how on one occasion, one of the young girls asked her, "What is Jesus like?" And so this elderly lady told me that she took this young girl from the vestry into the main chapel. Now, none of us would do this, I'm sure, but in the main chapel of this church was a picture on the wall of Jesus. And she described that picture to me. And perhaps you can visualize it for yourselves. He was handsome, and he was perfect, and he had this radiance, and this light shone around him. And there he was, the very model of human perfection. And this elderly Christian lady said to me, I said to this little girl, there he is, that's him, in all his beauty. Now, can you see that the beauty of Jesus is not physical? It wasn't in his strength or his looks. He wasn't a perfect example and a fine physical specimen. The beauty of Jesus was he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came with the weaknesses and the difficulties and the struggles and the battles and the hardships and the fears and the aches and the pains of sinful flesh. So his physical nature, his body, was in the image of sinful flesh. And so he could age and get tired and feel hungry and know weakness and sleep because he was overwhelmed with fatigue. And he would ache and he would hurt and he'd suffer. That's the image that the Son of God was made in. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, just think about this for a moment. I don't know whether you like the Olympics. I'm not a fan at all. But we've had a summer, haven't we, of human perfection. What would it have been like if God sent his Son as a model of perfect humanity physically? He sent his Son so that his Son would know what you and I know. All the hardships and all the struggles and all the disappointments and all the battles with our own flesh and blood, with our own bodies, with our own souls, our own minds. That's how the Son of God was made, in the image of you and me, just like us. Now, some of you are going to say, aren't you, Neil? He was without sin, yes, of course. But don't fall short of what Romans 8:3 tells you. Read it again. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, you see, God deals with sin. The whole problem is sin. Now, the law can't solve the problem of sin because of our weakness. So how will God deal with the problem of sin? Well, he sends his Son, who comes in the image or the likeness of sinful flesh. So the Son of God, in order to deal with sin, has to know what that is like, how it feels, what it does, how it affects us, the effects and the damage and the influence of sin. He feels it and knows it, so that then he goes to the cross and in the likeness of sinful flesh and made sin for us, he is able to condemn sin in the flesh. Do you see Romans 8 and verse 3? It is the Son of God in the image of sinful flesh who then deals with sin and puts an end to sin and solves the problem of sin by tasting what it is in his own body on the cross. So he's not a sinner. He's the spotless Lamb of God. But he is made in the image of sinful flesh. That's what God has done then. In his own Son, made in our likeness. Well, as time goes then, let's finish with this idea of image. Just look down in Romans 8 to possibly the best known verses of them all, 29 and 30. Moreover, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Well, as we bring this idea of image to a close then, verse 29. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The whole story of image in the Bible will end with you and I being conformed to the image of his Son. So look at how the theme has worked out. God makes man in his image. Man makes God as a reflection of himself. God sends his Son in the image of sinful flesh. And then finally, the ultimate purpose of God is that men and women, sinful men and women of weakness, we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So there's a reference there to the resurrection, the Jesus who was raised from the dead on the third day, that Jesus who is glorified, his human nature burned free from sin, alive unto God, that glorious Son of God, our humanity raised to the highest glory. That is the future purpose of God for you and me. Now that purpose begins in eternity past, when God foreknows. That purpose that you and I shall be like Christ, it was in eternity. Then in our lives we were called to faith in Jesus Christ. God works in the here and now, and then this great purpose of God in the future. Let's end with the passage we read from. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians 15? And look at these verses from the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And don't forget, the Son of God was made of dust in sharing our nature. Verse 48, as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And here is the sum of it all. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's our future, when we shall be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Well, let's turn once again to